Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, welcome back. You're catching us in the midst of our series on songs from my latest album, Keys to My Head, which came out January 15th, 2021. We're on song number 4 this week, a song called Life Begins in Mud. So we'll take a listen to Life Begins in Mud and then talk a little bit about it, look at the lyrics on the other side.
Thank you. something raucous, something true. But something muddy beneath the big wide blue, something mean. Oh, something new. Life begins, it's that one. Something mean, something spring. All night, life begins, it's something mean, something mean. Life begins, it's something mean, something. Oh, life begins.
So I'm just going to say now, and I probably shouldn't say this. This is probably not good to say. Kind of like choosing one of your children as your favorite. But I'm going to say right now, this song has become sort of my favorite on this album. And it's certainly not because it's the most market-worthy or... I don't know. I think there are some other songs that probably appeal to people more quickly, that catchier. They're you know, maybe even lyrically more grab people a little bit deeper. But there's something about this song that really I really really like, and I find myself wanting to listen to this one more often. As often as I have listened to all of these songs, working on them and then listening to them later, and this is the one I want to keep. I keep wanting to come back and listen to. And I don't know. Maybe it has to do with the ideas in the song. Maybe it has to do with the way the song was written, where it came from, all of that. I'm not sure, but we'll talk a little bit about it and. And maybe I'll figure it out as we go along. This was written, I mentioned earlier that the songs, about eight of the songs on this album were written during FOM, which is February Album Writing Month. It's a online group that kind of gets together every year. It's going on actually right now as we speak for 2021. I am not currently participating in it. I don't know if I find I have more time than I think I have, then I might. But I did participate in 2020, and eight of the songs came from that. This one did not. This is actually, and I've mentioned this before, there were three songs that were already written that are on this album that had just been kind of waiting there in my pocket, in the back of my head, waiting for... I'd done some rough recordings, live recordings of them and stuff, and this is one of those. So this was written, actually, I know the exact date. In fact, I wrote it down March 29th, 2019. That's when I wrote this song. I've got it in my notes here. So let me just, because this came about in a way that most songs that I've written have not come about. We've talked a little bit about the idea of having a prompt, you know, and you write from a prompt, then you're trying to fulfill the prompt, but you're also trying to make personal connections. And then sometimes you write out of an experience, you know, you write about something that happened, you try to capture that experience or something like this was really... neither one of those. So this was written. I had a conversation with a friend, and I actually took a few notes. They weren't extensive notes. I just jotted down some things because we were having this conversation and it was kind of a big pick, one of those strange, doesn't happen a whole lot, but big picture kind of conversations. And he was telling me about some things, and there were big connections. There were big global, universal sorts of connecting things. And things having to do with monarch butterflies and their migration, and things having to do with where we come from, our interconnectedness. And then immediately, the following day, that evening after our conversation, where I had jotted down a few things, I occasionally facilitate retreats for teachers, and I was facilitating a retreat, and it was a we do a seasonal retreat series, and so this was our spring retreat, and so themes about growth and rebirth and mud and things like that were in my head, along with my notes from this big picture sort of conversation I had with a friend. And I sat down and I said, we had some quiet time. I wrote this one on the ukulele, the 8-string ukulele. That's what I had with me at the moment when I was putting all this together. Now, when I actually recorded for this, for the album, I made the choice to not use the ukulele as the main. I wanted to work out an arrangement on a 6-string nylon string, classical 6-string guitar, and then bring in the ukulele, which I did, which I do in the song. The ukulele does come in, but it begins, the main bread and butter of the song is on 6-string. So, and I wanted to do that because I felt like making myself work out an arrangement on the 6-string guitar that was different from what I had done in the rough recording on the ukulele. I felt like that would bring out some new, fresh nuances, because I'd had this recording for quite some time. It was kind of lingering, and I was thinking, I want to do something with that, because it was tugging on me, and I didn't know what to do with it. But when I started in on this album, on this Keys to My Head album, this one, I said, well, that's got to be on it. This is where this one fits. And it did, and it does. So we'll take a look at the lyrics, and I'll talk a little bit more about some of the music choices that we made, and maybe in the process I'll figure out why I like this so much. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just, it's okay. It's enough just to really like it. I don't have to have a reason, do I? I don't know. Life begins in mud. Something green, something new, something raucous, something true, something muddy beneath the big, wide blue, something me, something you, something you, something you, something you. So I have to say, in beginning the writing, I had some strong feelings the conversation that I had with my friend was really really a wonderful conversation, and I was feeling a lot of positivity in his direction. And so something you came up a lot, because I was thinking about his excitement and his thinking and his insight. And I didn't fully understand all of it, and it didn't matter, because, you know, have you ever had a conversation when someone is just very excited about something and you don't understand it completely, and you, but at the same time you feel their excitement because of empathy and because it's contagious. So I felt a little bit like that. And then I was trying maybe to get at some of the things that he was getting at. And a lot of these are and of course there's a lot connected with spring in this. The new growth, the green, the new, the raucous. You know, spring is raucous. That's, you know, it's just crazy wildflowers everywhere. And it's all very, has the ring of truth about it, because anything in nature does. Nature is by definition true, you know. Nature and true, they're almost synonyms. If something is your nature, then that thing is true about you. And the nature of this planet, this environment, this place where we live, that's just the definition of true. Something muddy beneath the big wide blue. Something me, something you. So there's some connectivity there. And I think at that point, and this feeling that you get in spring when everything living is just coming to life and it's just springing up and it's being raucous, and it reminds me of an E.E. Cummings poem, or several E.E. Cummings poems, you know, and you feel like you're a part of that, and you feel like not separate from it. You feel like there's an interconnection. And in this song, there's this interconnection with all of these things. What is green, what is new, what is raucous, what is true, what is mud, and the big wide blue, and me and you. There's this interconnectedness. And feeling a part of a broader, bigger thing, a thing that is bigger than me, but that also encompasses all the living things around me and you, whomever you happens to be. And I think maybe one of the reasons why this song speaks to me so much right now is that I feel as a nation a loss of this, a loss of this connectedness. Sometimes in my conversations with people, sometimes in face-to-face conversations, although those don't happen very much these days, more often a conversation on social media of some sort, I feel, oh my gosh, we're so in different places. And how in the world do we build a bridge? And where does it start to make the connections? And I know fundamentally that we're not disconnected, that we're not that horrifically different. But it feels like ideologically we have become that, so estranged to each other. We need to be reminded. Nature can remind us. The seasons can remind us of this. Noticing these things. And some of those things are here in this song. And maybe that's why this song means so much to me. So this next section, a lot of this comes from my notes from my friend. Mindful of the butterflies, monarchs in migratory skies, something wise and ancient beneath the big wide blue, something me, something you, something you, something you, something you. So monarch butterflies, they are so fleeting, so gentle, so ethereal almost, and yet they have these huge migratory patterns that begin way up north and end way down in Mexico. And those migratory patterns are somehow built in, programmed into their tiny little bodies. They're bodies that don't even have room for much to be built in, but they have this collective wisdom, this collective ancient centuries-long wisdom of patterns of migration and recognizing that there are these things that are wise and ancient, and they're built into the living fabric of this network of life that you and I are a part of. And then you say, so where is that with me? Where's the built-in program? And I know it's there, but you know, it's like they say with fish. You know, if you ask a fish, if a fish could speak, if you ask a fish to describe water, a fish can't describe water because it's ever present. It's all around. It's in and within and without. And it's hard to put words to something that is so ever present in your existence. A fish describing water, a person describing air. And I think in so many ways, the wisdom patterns that we have, that we possess as human beings, they're embedded and ingrained maybe so deeply within us. Sometimes it's hard to access them. Maybe we access them in moments of extreme pain or extreme joy or extreme fear, when they're most needed, you know, when something's happening and I've got to make a decision and it's not the kind of decision that goes through my rational brain. It's the kind of decision that you have to make with your reptilian brain, which gets a bad rap, you know. It's fight, flight, or freeze. But there's other there's more than that. That's really minimal. And knowing that we all have that we're all tapped in, all living things are tapped in to these larger patterns of ancient understanding, migratory patterns. So we get to the bridge then. Take these moments that we meet. Spring is waking hands and feet. Take these growing sprouts and buds. All of life begins. Life begins in mud. Life begins in mud. Life begins in mud. Life begins in mud. I think we tend to forget that we are not other human beings, I mean. That we are of the same substance as everything else. We lift ourselves up above everything else. I'm not downplaying the brilliance and wonderfulness of humanity. In fact, I'm celebrating it. But part of that celebration is knowing how interconnected we are with all these other living things, and with this planet, with the dirt we grow up out of, that we are made of the dust of this place, and we are part and parcel of this place, and that the patterns within those monarchs, the patterns within the geese, the patterns within the leaves of the trees, the patterns within the microbes in the soil, those patterns, those are part of me as well. I have these patterns within me. And it connects me not only with them, but it connects me with other human beings, even other human beings with whom I am distanced ideologically. And there's where we get back to social media. It's those ideological stances that we take that make us dehumanize or relegate other human beings to not being our relatives, separate ourselves us, but other them. We allow those ideological differences to convince us that we're somehow fundamentally different, and we're not. We're not. And the beginning of empathy is turning to wonder and saying, this other human being I'm talking with whom I have very little ideological connection, I don't understand where they're at. I wonder, because I know he or she is fundamentally what I am, how did they get where they are ideologically? What route did they take to that? And if I can understand that, if I can begin to understand that, I don't necessarily think that I'm aiming to agree with them, but I'm aiming to understand them. I'm aiming to say, I understand how that could be the place I would be at were I to take this different route. And therefore, they are not so foreign. They are not so other. I am able to recognize the patterns that bind us together. And I think that's incredibly important today. So then we get to the instrumental section, which I decided to, I was doing the, you know, what I tend to gravitate toward is I do another verse, but I don't have lyrics for it. So I, you know, pull out a solo instrument or something and do it. This one felt like a whistling song because whistling is happy. Whistling is something you do in spring. You walk through the wildflowers and you whistle a tune. And so we have a whistling instrumental section there. And near the end of that, then we get to, you know, we come back to where we started. Something green, something new, something raucous, something true, something muddy beneath the big wide blue, something me. And then the thunder, and I failed to mention, of course, the song starts out with thunder. The thunder, the clouds that feed all the living things, and of course make the mud, and of course bring the nutrients and the water. Well, the thunder comes back in at the end as we get into something you. Life begins in mud, something you, life begins in mud, something you, life begins in mud, something you. And all of the other segments of the song are coming back in and building up. And while they're building in this kind of party, and musically, I brought in some brass stuff that I did with the keyboard. I wanted a feel like street jazz in New Orleans, and I mean that's not what I'm doing here, but I wanted that feel, that party in the street with the brass, with the trombones and all of that coming in and all of it kind of improvisational, and it's building like a party, and there's whistling and there's all these different voices singing these different things over the top of each other and intertwining, and yet it's at the same time a long slow fade to the end of the song where the vocals and most of the music has faded out except for that chordal background and the rain and very distant thunder. And musically, you know, I feel like there's this paradox of party, total raucous, crazy party, and quiet stillness. And that's what nature is, especially in spring. In spring, you can see a huge vista, the side of a mountain, the side of the canyon here where I live in Spearfish Canyon. You see this whole side of the canyon reaching up to the blue sky, and it's all coming alive with wildflowers and leaves and everything budding. Or you can lay down in the grass and put your eye close to the dirt and see the tiniest little buds with tiny details whispering about life. and recognizing that giant party and the still, quiet celebration, the smallest piece. And that is an E.E. Cummings poem. That's what he was getting at so many times. I think it seems like In Spring Just is the title of the poem that's coming to mind. And so trying to capture that in this song, I think that's what felt so good. Having it's got this interesting sort of lumbering rhythm, lumbering swing sort of rhythm that comes in and lumbers through, and then about halfway through the song, the bass kicks in. You haven't had much bass before that, but then the bass kicks in and it's kind of syncopated in a different way. And then by the time we get to the end, you have the street party, the street jazz, the parade in the street that fades off into the distance and leaves only the drip, drip of the rain, turning the dirt to mud, making the fertile soil for life, all kinds of life. And so for me, that knowledge, that very earthbound knowledge of who I am and how I'm interconnected with all of these trees and grasses and soil and animals around me, but also that helps me then with this person who I am ideologically at odds with. It helps me again remember they are my relative as well. We are interrelated as well. As much as he or she just boggles my mind with what they say, we are the same family, which is, I think, an incredibly important thing to remember, especially right now, especially when we're in a nation and a world that is so divided, seems so divided. We're not. We just think we are. Well, there we go. Life begins in mud. You can find Life Begins in Mud on my album, Keys to My Head, and you can find that, stream it on Spotify, on Apple Music, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, anywhere that you stream your music, Deezer, everywhere. You can find that. And you can also go straight to my website, scottsimpsonmusic.com. And we even have a / Keys to My Head. We've got a special page for Keys to My Head. You can check that out. Check out all the images. I do include the image connected with this song, which is basically you may not even be able to see what it is. It's like mud. It's like mud. There are a couple of toe prints in it, human toe prints, but it's mud. That image will be on the podcast site. So that's all of these songs. Each one had an image connected with it, as well as the sound, which of course in this song was that thunder and rain, which is just a lovely music in itself. I'll also mention our other project. My wife and I have a new band called Nana Papa. We're doing music. It's billed kind of as children's music, but don't let that fool you. It's for children, certainly, of multiple ages, but it's also for families and adults and grandparents and stuff like that. So I guess I'd say it's family-friendly stuff, but it's also, I think a lot of it's good teaching stuff about, like, Well, our first album, our first single right now that's out is Tell the Truth. So truth telling, that's a big one, isn't it? So anyway, so that's out, Tell the Truth, Nana Papa, if you want to find that. You can find that on all the places where you stream your music as well. And there will be more Nana Papa singles coming out all the way through to July 1st when we'll release the big album, which is yet to be titled. So thanks for joining me again for another episode of Dance and Moon Songcast. And I think I did figure out, why this song is so important to me, because it's about us getting along. It's about us recognizing our interconnectedness. Even people I just fundamentally disagree with, I can at least connect with them on this, this basic human-related, we both breathe, we got blood, we're standing on the same dirt. We can connect on that level. So that's important. Stay tuned and be well.